The ideas Ronald Reagan championed, reducing the size of government while promoting democracy and free enterprise around the world, were often controversial when he was in office, but they are all but taken for granted today. NPR's Mara Liasson reports on the imprint Reagan left on the American political landscape.
Republicans and Democrats argue over the legacy of Ronald Reagan's presidency. He was either a towering figure who encouraged democracy around the world and cut taxes and regulations at home, or he was an out-of-the-loop executive whose policies drastically cut funding for programs that help protect working families, minorities, and the environment. But there are some parts of Ronald Reagan's political legacy that are not in dispute. He moved the center of American politics to the right, in part by inspiring a whole new generation of young conservatives, conservatives like Mark Sauder.
When I was 14 and I was following the Barry Goldwater campaign, I was in eighth grade, just first getting my interest in politics. And what really prompted me to get involved was I heard Ronald Reagan's speech for Barry Goldwater, A Time for Choosing. At that time, I was working down at my dad's store, earned $1.25 a week, and I took $5 of my money and sent it into the Goldwater campaign based on that Time for Choosing speech.
30 years later, Sauder was elected to Congress as a Republican from Indiana. Sauder says when he was in college in the 1960s and out of step with the counterculture and liberal politics sweeping most of his generation, he would listen to records of Ronald Reagan's speeches. Sauder says Reagan was the spiritual father of the Republican Revolution that captured control of Congress in 1994.
Today, even when you meet a lot of the kind of the young yuppie politicians, in the sense of those of us who came through the 60s, basically beat up on the college campuses as being kind of lone wolves, Ronald Reagan was our inspiration, and there are very few members of Congress my age who've been involved for a long time who won't say that Ronald Reagan was really the activist person who got them engaged.
For Sauder, Reagan didn't just express conservative ideals. He showed young politicians a new way to be a conservative, with a smile, instead of Goldwater's hard edge. Sauder describes Reaganism as more of a style than a set of principles, which, Sauder admits, existed in the Republican Party both before and after Ronald Reagan. President George W. Bush consciously followed the Reagan model when he campaigned as a compassionate conservative and a different kind of Republican. The scholar James Q. Wilson was one of the first people to recognize the importance of Ronald Reagan. Back in the 1960s, he wrote an essay called A Guide to Reagan Country, The Political Culture of Southern California. Wilson says that Ronald Reagan showed Republicans how to persuade voters to endorse conservatism. But Wilson argues even though Ronald Reagan did bring new voters into the GOP, he never was able to achieve the extraordinary political feat of an FDR, who created a long-lasting majority for his party with the New Deal. But then again, Ronald Reagan didn't face a profound crisis like the Great Depression.
You have to be confronted with an issue that is so dramatic, such as the crisis of the Great Depression, that you get people to choose up sides in a new way, or at least incoming voters to choose sides in ways they would not have chosen them in the past. Roosevelt was able to do that. I don't think Reagan, to the same degree, was able to do that. But both of them, while in office, had an equally powerful effect on the direction of public policy.
Reagan not only helped transform the Republican Party, he also had a bracing effect on its opponents.
Ronald Reagan confounded the Democrats not just because he won, because the way he won.
Stan Greenberg is a Democratic pollster.
Ronald Reagan reached down into the Democratic base. He took those suburban Catholic voters, he took those Southern evangelical voters and brought them into the national Republican majority. And, you know, Democrats who thought they ought to represent working people just were constantly frustrated that there was a category of people called Reagan Democrats.
Because Ronald Reagan broke apart the old Democratic coalition, he forced the Democrats to change in order to survive. And his impact on electoral politics gave Greenberg a new career. Until 1985, he was a political science professor at Yale University.
I was dragged out of academia to try to figure out Reagan Democrats in Macomb County, Michigan in 1985. What they represented was the kind of the working class base of the Democratic Party, and figuring out why they left and figuring out how to get them back became, I think, kind of the mission of the reformers in the Democratic Party from the mid-1980s on.
Those reforms included moving the Democrats away from the old liberalism. Greenberg says it couldn't have happened without Ronald Reagan. Bill Clinton was the first post-Reagan Democrat to be elected president. He was able to build on Ronald Reagan's successes in foreign policy.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That was in 1987. Back then, some of the smartest thinkers in America thought communism would be around forever and that Star Wars, Reagan's plan for a missile shield around the U.S., was a nutty idea. But by 1989, the Soviet Union had collapsed, the Berlin Wall had fallen, and today President Bush is proposing a national missile defense program to protect the United States. And even Democrats, led by Bill Clinton, came to embrace Reagan's ideal of smaller government.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
That was in 1981. By 1995, President Clinton was declaring the era of big government over. He wasn't just co-opting a Republican slogan, he was enjoying the political fruits of economic changes that Reagan's policies helped bring about. James Q. Wilson.
First, he and Paul Volcker broke the grip of inflation that had been destroying people's earnings in this country and set the groundwork for the kind of economic expansion we've had since then. By keeping interest rates under control, the stock market has gone up. And secondly, he brought the Soviet Union to its knees. The Soviet Union collapsed, and this materially improved the well-being of Americans.
Even Democrats, who still blame Ronald Reagan for the damage they believe he did with the budget deficits, say that one of the reasons the economy is in such good shape today is because the U.S. went through its wrenching transformation early. Daniel Yergin, the author of a book on the battle between government and the marketplace, says that Ronald Reagan, along with British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, personified the triumph of free markets and free governments over the last 20 years. Yergin traces the beginning of that turn to one of the most controversial acts of Ronald Reagan's first term, the firing of the air traffic controllers.
I have heard leading Democrats say privately that kind of success that we're now seeing in our economy today began with Ronald Reagan's breaking the air traffic controller strike, because it broke that nexus of labor and management that seemed to lock us into an inflationary, inflexible system, and was the beginning of the process that got us to a more flexible economy.
Ronald Reagan often made government the enemy, even when he was running for re-election. But during his time in office, the actual size of the federal government stayed the same. And there was another irony. During Reagan's presidency, Yergin says, public opinion of the federal government actually went up.
When Reagan came in was a time of great self-doubt in the United States. We'd gone through the hostage crisis in Iran. We'd gone through a decade of very poor economic performance. And it wasn't so much a cynicism, but a loss of confidence, a loss in where were we going. And Reagan, as president, did a lot to restore a confidence, let's say a confidence in the country. And even though people would argue about his programs, certainly as a country, we felt better about ourselves.
The way I see it, there were two great triumphs, two things that I'm proudest of. One is the economic recovery, in which the people of America created and filled 19 million new jobs. The other is the recovery of our morale. America is respected again in the world and looked to for leadership.
Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
There is considerable Reagan material, including a timeline, at our website, npr.org.